action from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here. And not only are they here, they're delighted to be here until 8 o'clock to take your calls. So get in touch, do not let them down. I can't have that on my conscience. 01419511025. We're asking you very simple questions. What did you make of the game at Ibrox? And what did you make of the game at Rugby Park? Let's get stuck straight in, shall we, with Robert, who is from Partick. How are you, Robert?
How are you doing, guys?
All good here, Robert. What are you thinking tonight? Good.
I'm just back for the game. I left in 73 minutes. I couldn't bear watching any more of that. It was absolutely brutal. Brutal. I've never seen such a team that's it's not set up right. There's no pace. They turn the ball back from midfield into defence and back to midfield defence. It's just brutal, honestly. I'm lost for words watching that today, and it's a lot of money we Rangers fans pay, and it's brutal to watch. Clement's tactics, his substitutions are baffling. Diamande, I don't know how much Rangers paid for Diamande, but whatever they paid for him is terrible, absolutely terrible.
Well, I have to say, I've heard of people leaving early to beat the traffic, and they're a bit fed up. 73 minutes is quite an indictment on what Rangers served up today.
Two stops, and you're back in Partick, and that's the decision that Robert took. Robert, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think Rangers will catch Aberdeen?
No. Okay. See, Hearts. To me, Hearts. I was talking to a guy sitting next to me today, and I said, you know, watching Hearts, they know how to make angles. They know how to make space for each other. Rangers players don't know nothing about each other watching that today. I mean, you can see the way the Hearts are playing. They play with one-touch football, make spaces, make angles for each other, and then Shankly gets the ball up. He holds the ball up really well. We've got nothing. We have nothing. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it's a good question, Hugh, and that's why you've been in the biz for so long. But I think it's very telling that, see if Rangers had dropped points tonight, lost the game obviously, maybe even drawn, you get that then emotional knee-jerk reaction where people say, ah, we're no catching Aberdeen. To say it after a win, to say it after a night when your picture, your position doesn't get any worse, that's quite telling about what the performance level's perceived to be.
I saw the highlights of the Aberdeen game at Pittodrie, sold out for the fourth time in succession, and I knew that Rangers were under pressure when Celtic then won at Rugby Park. But just about the time Robert was going for the subway back to Partick, I thought to myself, playing like this, Rangers are like night and day compared to Kilmarnock, Aberdeen. There's a fervour about Aberdeen, there's a style of play. Everything about them is what Rangers are not in terms of domestic football. And tonight, I'm beginning to form the opinion that this Rangers team won't make up the 9 points on Aberdeen and might fall even further behind.
What do you put that down to though, Robert, then? How much of this is the way the manager has set this team up, and how much of it is down to players just not being good at carrying it out?
You just look at the players, you look at Europe, and then you look at this, the domestic. It sets up totally different from both games. He brought back Tavernier today, and the amount of times he lost the ball was unbelievable. It was as if the players didn't know. It was as if it was the first time they played together. You know, it was just, as I go back to it, it was brutal, absolutely brutal. And I don't think Rangers will finish third. And to be brutally honest, Clement's not the manager for me. He definitely isn't the manager. I mean, it takes off players and puts other players on, and it's baffling because the players are playing out of position as well. I mean, if I was the Rangers manager, I'd had one holding midfielder, which had been Raskin, and then you would had Barron. It takes Barron off, who was one of our better players. He was actually trying. It was baffling. I mean, just that's how I left after 73 minutes. It was brutal. It was really, really brutal.
Is that the earliest you've left when you've been winning, Robert?
Yeah,
just out of curiosity.
That's the earliest. I mean,
You'd be hard pushed to go earlier than that for a win, Gordon.
Yeah, well, I don't think Robert would be alone, if I'm totally honest. Look, it's very hard for us to sit here and say, right, okay, like yesterday, but it's different because it's Rangers. Motherwell won the game. We had a caller that was going off, he said, about the entertainment. But we're talking about Rangers here. We're talking about the amount of money. They're talking about the wages, everything about it. Rangers fans deserve better. Yes, the most important thing, win the game. They got off to the greatest start I've seen. They come out the traps. They've scored a real good goal by playing good football, moving hearts about. Dessers gets the finish. And you're thinking, and I'm sure the Rangers fans were all the same thinking, right, this is it. This is the day we go and put on a real good performance. Bit of confidence for Thursday night. Played well in Greece. All of a sudden, they drop off the game. Hearts, I've never seen a Hearts team go to Ibrox and dominate in a second half like they did tonight. And to be fair to Hearts, I think they deserve something out of the game because they missed a couple of real good, good chances. I really don't know. If I was going along and paying my money like Robert there and travelling to the games, I think as much as you want to see your team win, and that's great, I'd be frustrated at what I'm seeing.
Is there any part of you, Robert, that can find anything, any positivity in that old cliche that you hear about it being a good thing to win when you're not at your best? Why is that just not washing anymore? Is it because it's kind of the same story over and over?
It's the same story right enough, because we've only played two decent games, Malmo and Olympiacos. The rest has been brutal. It's been slow. It's been lack of urgency. Dessers is never a Ranger striker. He scored a goal the day, and that was it. That's all he done. That was it. I know he's there to score goals, but that's it. His hold up plays horrendous.
Do you think he had enough opportunities to hold the ball up? I genuinely can't even really remember. Listen, it going near him.
I think you can give Dessers stick in certain games, right? But over the week, he scores an important goal in the semi-final. He scores a goal on Thursday night. Today, he gets off Rangers off to a terrific start, gets a goal that's got them 3 points. Now, I'm first to agree with callers talking about his hold-up play or he's missed two or three chances and you can criticise him. I don't think you can criticise him today because you get absolutely no service whatsoever.
See, to be fair, though, and I think you're right overall. I don't think this is a night where you blame Cyril Dessers, far from it. But Mark, you've got the coaching head on, so educate me here though. See if the rest of the team is set up the way that Rangers is. Do you maybe need a front man then that offers more? Or is it not set up to bring the best out of him? I take Gordon's point. I'm not saying he missed chances, and I'm not saying the ball kept going into him and he lost control, but there are other possibilities here, you know, about the way Rangers are set up. Are they set up right for him, and is he the right man for their setup? Those can still be valid questions.
Yeah, they certainly can be. And the truth is, Gordon, we don't really know, because we don't really know what Philippe Clement is asking of his front man. I've been in dressing rooms where I've heard managers say to their front men, "We don't want you involved in any build-up play. We want you to occupy two centre halves and do a good job at that. And when it gets into the final third or near the penalty box, that's where we want you to come alive." The way I'm seeing Dessers playing just now, that's my kind of level of thinking, that what he's been asked to do, because very rarely do you see him bouncing off a centre half and taking and then linking up. You just see him come alive running about the penalty box. Now, if that's what he's been asked to do, he's done his job today. He's in the 6-yard box to tap in Tavernier's cutback. Fine. He's not had any other part to play because his wide guys didn't create for him. If it's the other way, if he has been asked by Philippe Clement to come and link the play and be a part of it and drag people out of position, well, he's certainly not taking part or doing his job. I think it's the first option.
Rangers don't play that way. If you look at Rangers try and play down the flanks. You look at the left back, you look at the right back, you look at Tierney in the wing. So all of a sudden, they try and play down the flanks. So for me, Dessers' job is simple. The ball's coming in the box. You got onto the end of it. You're a number nine. Start scoring goals. Rangers don't play through the middle of the park and bounce things off centre forwards and then get midfield players running in behind. That's not their style of play. They try and get down the flanks. So I'm sorry, I do criticise Dessers sometimes when I don't think the ball sticks to him or he misses a few chances. But as a centre forward tonight, there was absolutely nothing to feed off. And for a centre forward, you need that. You need people to go and create for you. If they put good balls in the box and you're not there, they've got every right to criticise you.
Yeah, but I don't think we're not, like I say, it's not all about just, is he taking chances? Is he getting them? Sometimes there's just a bigger picture. And are you offering here? I'm not saying he is guilty of these things, but you can contribute to a team's full style without necessarily having to get service.
Right, okay, tell me the last time you've seen Rangers playing a ball up to centre forward that comes back and they're a midfield player going in behind. It doesn't happen.
That's what I'm saying. So
right, so they don't play that way.
It's part of a big picture then.
Yeah, but they don't play. Yeah, correct. So they don't play. It's not like you're saying, well, Dessers isn't coming short or whatever. Rangers try and play down the flanks. If you see Jeffy, for instance, the amount of time
he's on
the ball,
they very rarely do it either, don't they? Not when you think about it.
Gordon, I don't know what Rangers fans are thinking, but my opinion is I would hate to be going along to Ibrox every second week paying money and watching that.
Let's thank Robert for his time. Although he's up early, he's up the road early anyway. Robert, he's got loads of time in his hands. Craig is from Curlook. How's it going, Craig?
Yeah, all good, lads. How are you?
Not bad. What was your take on that then?
I think Robert said he left at 73 minutes. I left at half time. It was really that bad.
Oh, no way. Well, let me tell you, it got worse, Craig, after you left.
Nah, honestly, it's as bad as I've seen throughout the last couple of years, honestly. I think, come on, I think it comes up for an international break. I think we just need to get rid of him now, if I'm honest. As I say, we just need to... The season's a dead rubber. There's no style. Honestly, the season ticket is going out the window at the end of the season if this doesn't change. The club is a... It's a joke from top to bottom at the moment.
Here's the thing though, Craig. When you've taken the decision as a club to not dispense of the manager, say after Aberdeen, you're just not going to sack him after a win against Motherwell, win against Hearts and draw against Olympiacos, are you?
No, but it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. As I say, he's not improved a single player. He got the initial bounce when he first came in, but since Motherwell beat us at home back in March, it's just been downhill since then. As I say, it's getting no better. We're out of the Champions League. The league's over. As I say, the rest of the season's just a dead rubber. We've got to the final of the League Cup, but I mean, Celtic could take, you know, 4, 5 or 6 off us, to be honest, because they're miles ahead of us. As I say, just not good enough.
I think that's the symbolic moment. December 15, Hampden. I'm not sure that Celtic, Craig, will take 5 or 6 off Rangers, but if Celtic win, that's enough. I think it would then convince the Rangers supporters, not that they need much convincing, but that would be the symbolic moment where they say, how long will you let this go on?
Some have reached that moment.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've reached that already, Hugh, if I'm honest. The fans have gone, especially after Aberdeen. They're totally gone. I don't think they catch Aberdeen, to be honest. I think they finished third. And as I say, a club the size of Rangers, I mean, we've got a fraction of the budget, and I don't think we're catching them. We're that bad.
Yeah, as I said earlier on in the programme, I formed that opinion midway through the second half that this team, they are not good enough to catch Aberdeen on current form. Both teams' current form. Aberdeen finished second and Rangers finished third. But you know the way it works. If Celtic continue to beat Rangers every time they play them, then the manager who cannot beat Celtic cannot stay as the Rangers manager. Yeah. My problem is, Craig, that the club behind the scenes at the moment, there is a fraction of a board. There is not a full board. Director of football, yeah. Chief exec. I don't think there's a structure there that facilitates the removal of the manager right now.
Yeah, it runs deeper than the manager. Totally get that, but as I say, there isn't even a glimpse of where he's trying to take the club. As I say, the recruitment, you know, Neil's copied as well, hasn't been good enough in terms of the recruitment, the players he brought in. People like Bajrami for $3.5 million. I mean, he looks miles off it. He looks a luxury player. People like Proper, again, not good enough. You know, he won't last. As I say, it's just not been good enough, top to bottom. Absolutely not good enough.
But if people like you are leaving at half time, you know,
I like to think we've started a competition. Someone will be on in a minute saying they left after 4 minutes, missed Esser's goal.
But Gordon Dale pointed out that late into the game, if you've got a stadium full of blue seats, it's perfectly obvious who's not occupying them, and the crowd just drift away every game, drift away. because they're bored witless.
Again, Mark, put the kind of style and so on questions to you. That so Craig's talking about Bajrami. I wonder if we could maybe put Czerny in that sort of bracket tonight. You always hear this. It's a very simplistic explanation that, well, there's more space in Europe, so these players flourish, and there's less space domestically, so they don't. It can't be that simple. That, what, just talking about individual moments, you know, when, just when you've got the ball, how can you look so different on it?
Yeah.
From one night to the next.
they do look like a bunch of different players when they play in Scotland, which is strange. In terms of Bajrami, I mean, he takes up a good position for the goal, and he actually does well. And that's what you're wanting. You want your players to identify where the space is. He does well for that period, but he then just drifts out of games. And those are the ones, Czerny and Bajrami, those are the ones that you're looking to create things for Dessers and Diamandé in that number 10 role. The three of them were really anonymous today. But again, it comes down to style. What are they? There's times I see Bajrami coming in off the line and he plays in the wee pockets where they get the goal. And there's times I think, well, Czerny's been told to play high and wide and Tavernier just behind him. But then you just see the opposite, and it's almost like the players just take it on themselves what to do. Now, if you compare that to Celtic, because everything's compared to the other half of the city, you know right away what you're getting from your wide players. They stay high and wide. You look at Nicholas Coon's goal today. He's on the touchline and he comes to the ball and he spins and goes in behind. You know you're getting that. You know you're getting that on the other side from Maeda. And the players who are playing with him know what they're doing. With Rangers, it's a gamble. Is Bajrami coming off the line? Is he staying wide? Same with Czerny. Where's Diamandé going? Does he just hold the play? Does he go beyond it? Who knows? The players don't even know. So how hard must that be to play in? Never mind watch.
It's an incredible situation. If you look at this week, Rangers have reached the final, League Cup. They go on Thursday night and get a real good performance and good result. They beat Hearts today at Ibrox, and the Rangers fans are not happy at all. Just shows you the people that are going along there are not satisfied with the way the club's going.
I think if you pick out, you know, just sort of random stats here to try and back up your point, then you can always do that. You can be clever, you can be, you know, you can be selective. But I think when they all start to stack up, like we said, it's a home game. The Rangers, it's a domestic game. Take Celtic out of it, but anyone else, Hearts shaded the possession just slightly, but still, it just don't feel like we've seen
Hearts
that before.
Hearts were miles better in the second half than Rangers. Miles.
This I didn't realise. Had a wee longer, not that I wasn't listening to y'all, had a wee longer look at the league table there. Rangers have scored the same number of league goals as St Johnston. Now, St Johnston have played more times. Fine. Dundee have scored more league goals than Rangers. St Mirren have scored more league goals than Rangers. This is very, very, I was going to say rare. It's more than rare. It's unheard of.
I come back to two basic points. The Rangers fans don't think Philippe Clement knows what he's doing. And secondly, if he loses to Celtic on the 15th of December, they will be convinced that the club is really going nowhere. He cannot win against Celtic, and that would be another symbolic moment, because it would mean that in the course of their history, Celtic would have won more trophies than Rangers. These things count.
Look on the bright side, Craig. They've done the unthinkable. They've got you looking forward to an international break.
I know, it's a bad day when you're looking forward to that.
Right, we'll leave you in there, Craig. Thank you very much. Craig left at half time. Can anyone beat it? Come on. Come on. Who left in the first half? We want to hear from you. And we shouldn't laugh. I know it's all very serious business. You can reflect on Rugby Park as well. What did you make of that? Give us a shout and we will speak next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel are here. You know that stage of like a marathon where the legs start to get heavy, concentration starts to go? That's how these three are looking right now. They've been here since 2 o'clock, but plenty of good football to keep them going. Or maybe not in the eyes of you Rangers fans, judging by the calls so far. First guy left on, what was it, 73 minutes?
Yeah.
Next guy left at half time, Gary and East Kilbride. Talk to me.
Well, I was watching in the house and I didn't last any longer than the guy that actually left the game itself. Bang on half time, I actually turned the PlayStation on and was planning playing it for about 15 minutes and then decided what is the point in turning it back on to be sitting looking at my phone, because.
What did you play?
I was playing Days Gone, so a 5-year-old game. I'd much rather play an old game than actually sit and watch Rangers at the moment.
I've never even heard of it, but I'll take your word for it. So again, yeah, is it this all about performance level? Because usually, Gary, I'll be honest, you know, I've done this many times, and usually when one of the big two sort of scrapes to a win, somebody somewhere will jump on here to point out that winning's the most important thing and that's the bottom line. You all sound well beyond that now.
No, because there's no point to that. We went through that where we're scraping through games. We've been scraping through games since last season. The performances don't seem to get any better, and it's now getting to the point, you know, that you're scraping against teams that you shouldn't be scraping against teams, which means when you come to your Aberdeens, your Celtics, you've got no chance. So the performances need to improve if we're going to have any chance of catching Aberdeen at this point.
And that is always the reality. These games, they're all worth the same points and all that stuff, Hugh. So yeah, for those people who do say it's all about winning, but people like Gary and the callers before him, they've realised that this is just a sign of things to come. So it means when the domestic level steps up, you don't win 1-0, because rather than Kenneth Vargas going through on goal and hitting the post, it's Kyogo or whatever. You know, you get where we're trying to go. Rangers fans don't see this improving.
No. And they see it as going from bad to worse, because we are now having regular calls to say, I don't think Rangers will catch Aberdeen now. And that's a significant step backwards for supporters, because that means it's a further loss of belief in Philippe Clement, his methods, and everything associated with the club. But I go back to the cup final. Tottenham Hotspur are due at Ibrox in the Europa League. Rangers have to go to a Manchester United side who will have Ruben Amorim in charge as the manager by that time. There are many worrying nights and days to come for this Rangers team, but on the strength of today, the performance today, you could have no confidence, because that's just dreadful football.
I suppose the real fear though would be losing further ground in the league, Mark. By the time Spurs come, I mean, look, Rangers picture in the Europa League is actually okay.
Yeah.
And they might even manage to take heavy ones along the way and still go through, because they've got 7 points on the board. But two things, as Hugh correctly says, I don't think fans would take defeat to Celtic. You never do that here. But if it was to be a nasty one, or they were to lose further ground in the Premiership, then that's when the real problems start, if they haven't already.
Yeah, but the real problems have started.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, and each caller's pointed out, Robert Craig and Gary have pointed that out, that they've seen enough. They don't see any optimism, don't see any hope, don't see anything getting better. Now, the one glimmer of hope, the one spark, is the European football for Rangers at the minute, because they are sitting okay in the Europa League. And that might just be what's keeping Philippe Clement and his role at the minute. What are the Rangers board waiting for? And Hugh is right, it's a fragmented Rangers board as it is, but are they waiting for them to drop more points before they change things? Are they even thinking about changing things? Is that enough for them? That today, for me, it's just a game of chance, because the Rangers fans going along are thinking, well, what's going to happen today? Are we going to win? Or how are we going to play? And they get the opportunity in the first few minutes to take it, but they quite could easily have lost it as well.
Because the thing is, Gordon, about that bigger picture, I was going to say Rangers should be on an okay run of domestic fixtures. Home to Hearts. Let's not forget Hearts went into today 11th and stay 11th. Home against Dundee United, away to St Johnstone, home to Kilmarnock, away to Ross County. That's not a dreadful run. But the problem is, not only are people doubting that they'll win them, they certainly don't look like winning any of them well. If you're on, like I say, if it's home against Hearts, home against Dundee United, fans want you to win it with a bit to spare.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know you're under pressure when you get to a cup final, you've got a good result in Europe, you've won today at home, and the fans are not happy. They're leaving their droves, people are leaving at half time, people are leaving 70 minutes, people are switching off. It's not a good sign, Gordon. I don't know where Rangers go from here. I'm sure there'll be fans out there that are sitting waiting to see, as Hugh touched on, 15th of December in the cup final against Celtic. He's not beat Celtic yet, and the way this Rangers team look the now, it's not going to happen soon. So I have no idea what the board's thinking, and maybe it's just a fact of saying, look, we've believed in this guy and we're going to go with him, and hopefully it'll turn.
Gary, is it all down to the manager? Are there players there that are not pulling their weight? What's your thinking on where it's going wrong, if that's the right question?
There's a bit of both. There's obviously players that aren't performing to the level that they should be, but also I don't think the formation helps. He's sticking to this 4-2-3-1 too rigidly, to the point that I don't think we've got the players to play that sort of formation. For that formation, you need pacey wide players, and we don't have that. So instead, you've got Barami, who I think would look better in the middle, cutting inside. You've then got Cherny on the right-hand side, a left-footed player, so he cuts in, so it narrows the game. And when you're playing against two banks of 10, that's never going to work. And in the league, we're always going to be sitting against teams that are looking to sit back and hit us on the break. So that doesn't work. It works in Europe because teams come out and we can hit them on the counter-attack, but it doesn't work in the league, and that is how we keep getting these turgid displays.
Yeah, Mark, then you've got a personnel issue there. What's the recruitment strategy? Yeah. Have wrong players been identified, or have wrong been brought in? Because even if you were a real optimistic Rangers fan who thinks we're all been over the top of the criticism, you would defy anyone to call and say they think there's a lot of genuine pace in that Rangers team.
Yeah, yeah, there just isn't. So, the style of play is down to Philippe Clement. He's been given a couple of windows to get things right, to bring in people he wants to suit his system. He's obviously a fan of that system. Two holding midfielders. Well, you're obviously looking to control the middle of the pitch and control possession in that area. I'm looking at today. Did they do that today? Far from it today. Did they do it against Aberdeen? Not a chance, did they? So they're losing that battle. Do they get enough bodies in the box going forward? No. Quite often it's just Dessers that's in there and he's fighting with two centre-halves. So, and you've got two defensive midfielders. So I can understand what Gary's saying about the system and the style. He's stuck to it, but it is boring. He's right. You do need quick players in the wide area then to isolate them. You do need fullbacks that will join in, because you've got your two that will sit there and defend in midfield. It just doesn't piece together for Rangers.
Such is the mad nature of the rivalry here. If Philippe Clement were somehow to win the Premier Sports Cup final on the 15th of December, he's good to go for the remainder of the season, because the fans wouldn't care about the football being dreadful. If they could beat Celtic and win a cup as a consequence, that would do him for a while.
Yeah, I think obviously it helps, but they did win the League Cup last season. Yeah. It only lasts so long.
And that's the puzzling thing, Gordon. When he won that trophy, he wasn't that long inside the door at Ibrox, and I said at the time, and I'm openly admitting it, I've admitted it to you before, I thought he was a serious man for serious times. Since winning that League Cup, he has diminished as a force within the club. He has lost a league title, imploded in the league title. Brendan Rodgers held his nerve, won the league, won the cup against Rangers, and this season Philippe Clement is 9 points behind Celtic already.
Better let Gary go, who needs to get the PlayStation back on. But we're staying in East Kilbride with Stephen. What's your take on it?
It's just terrible. I phoned up last Sunday after the Cup semi-final. The patterns of play, it was Mark who kind of spoke to my comments. It's just the patterns of play are terrible. The pockets of space, Hearts managed to pass their way through us at times. The 4-2-3-1 just doesn't seem to work. And it's frustrating to watch. I mean, quite a few folk, I think, on Twitter were getting carried away after the result on Thursday night. I mean, that Olympiacos team were poor, in my opinion. It was a good result away from home. You never knock that. You know, the one saving grace from today is that we got the victory. But if we hadn't got the victory, then I would imagine that the atmosphere would have been toxic. I couldn't go because I had my son today. You know, we went over before the game. We saw the players coming in. My boy was absolutely made up, getting a signature from Jeff Day and a photograph and everything like that. And, you know, that's the good thing about football, you know, that you enjoy. But watching it today would have been, watching it in the house was terrible.
Watching the games are the bad bit. That's not
good. I agree with that.
That's not good when it gets to that stage.
The build up's brilliant. Everything you do is brilliant. It's when the referee blows the whistle. The thing for me about Rangers just now, there's no energy in the team for me. There's no pace, there's no energy. I thought Rangers today got off to a great start, a perfect start. Couldn't have asked for a better start at Ibrox. Lifts the crowd, good goal. You know what I mean? It was a good team goal, well played from one side to the other. And then all of a sudden I'm saying, right, if you're Rangers, you've hit Hearts, Hearts game plan right out the window. All of a sudden Hearts are looking at each other going, oh, we're one down and it's only 6 minutes on the clock. Rangers then drop right off the game. They drop off and they let Hearts settle into a rhythm and get the ball passing about and everybody getting a touch. And actually played their cell in, had a great opportunity with Vargas. And then the second half, I've not seen a Hearts team for a long time going to Ibrox and basically bossing the second half of the game.
I think the big point is here, Rangers won, and how much we're discussing how bad it is. And that is how bad it's got for Philippe Clement. That you would take this all day long if it happens a couple of times in the first 11 games of the season. The fact that it's happening week after week after week, and Hearts were second bottom of the table, I think it is a major concern. I think no matter what way the Rangers manager tries to dress up, by the way, Daz touched on it perfectly, Philippe Clement will probably come out and say, you know, semi-final negotiated well, a point away in Europe and 3 points at home to Hearts, it's been a tough week, a lot of travel, all that nonsense, and trying to put a positive spin on it. But you can't get away with what the fans see on the pitch. What's there staring you right at the face, and just no hope of it getting any better.
If you drill down through those games, against Motherwell, they're booed off at half time because they're so bad. They eventually get a 2-1 against a Motherwell team who didn't play well on the day. Then they go to Athens, and as the caller on the line said, Olympiacos, to his way of thinking, did not look like a good team. That's not to distract from what Rangers did, but the fans are looking at the games and they understand what they're seeing. And what they saw today, they're unwilling to cut the manager or the team any slack, because what they saw today, they think, is unappealing.
I always feel like, Stephen, that there's never quite that follow up. To be fair, you said you weren't as pleased with Thursday night as others were, but still there was this feeling that, well, you know what, maybe this Raskin and Barron combo, maybe that's the one to take Rangers forward. And then it, you know, it gets to the next game and it never really seems to come to much performance wise anyway.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, after a game, whether you win, lose or draw, there's a degree of frustration. But then the next game comes along and you're excited again. Got that buzz, you've got that anticipation. And then quite quickly you realise that you're going to be frustrated and disappointed again, even if the result is a 1-0 victory. But it's a 1-0 victory against the second bottom team of the league who have been struggling this season. So after the first game of the season, we were like, oh, it's a good result, a tough result, tough game away to Hearts. And then you see the way Hearts followed that up. My frustration is more about the way that we're playing. Mark said, you know, you've got two holding midfielders. Why are we playing with two holding midfielders at home to Hearts? Why are we playing two holding midfielders at home to anybody? You know, why are we're not dominating possession. We're not creating lots and lots of chances. You quoted the statistics about the goals scored. You know, the goals ratio so far this season is dreadful. And it's because we're not playing entertaining football. We're getting so far up the park and we're getting there slowly. You know, it's a kind of labour to get to where we're getting on the park, and then we're playing against a brick wall. You know, you talk about pace, you know, the directness of the play. You get so far and then they cut back. You know, I mean, I'm saying to my son, you know, Hugh just mentioned it there, guarantee that Clement will say, you know, well, we never get back until late on Friday afternoon from Athens, the players were tired, blah, 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 blah. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff tonight, you know, so the players had a couple of days to recover. You know, we should have a big enough squad to cope with results and performances, but we're not seeing any improvement. We're seeing no improvement whatsoever.
Thank you very much, Stephen. In East Kilbride, let's hear from Neil Critchley, his thoughts on the 1-0 defeat for Hearts.
We got off to the worst possible start, obviously. We were too tentative at the start. Rangers scored. I think we grew into the game, but their best moments probably came for us giving the ball away in the mid-third of the pitch in the first half when he broke on us. But we controlled a lot of the game. We had obviously a big chance right after half-time, and I felt that if we'd have taken that with the feeling around the ground, it maybe the game would have swung even more in our favour. I think second half, we've controlled the game, pushed Rangers back, and we've had nearly moments. But I don't want us to be a nearly team. People keep saying, oh, good performance, but I don't want that feeling. Good performance is about getting points and winning games, and we should have got something from that game today. You know you're not going to get loads of opportunities, although if we'd have made better choices, made a better pass, better crosses, we'd have created more. We failed in the last moment, and that's what let us down on Thursday night, and that's what's cost us picking up at least a point today.
So the thoughts there of Neil Critchley, and if you want to hear the thoughts of Philippe Clement, stay right there and we'll get them next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. There is still time to reflect on the game at Rugby Park if you fancy it, but there seems to be an appetite, shall we say, for reflections on that Rangers performance. They did win the game, in case you're just joining us, but the mood around the performance doesn't seem to be a very happy one. Is that right, James in Hamilton?
Yeah, how you doing? Hi guys, how you getting on?
Good, thanks.
This must be a bit different, eh? 7 days a week, Rangers fans moaning in your ear. Unbelievable.
Living the dream.
Yeah, so literally I agree with every caller that's came on tonight, basically, just after the game, in relation to the performance. It's poor, and it's been poor for a while, but my main point, and the only really point I want to make tonight and to get your guys' views on, is what is happening with Yanis Hadji. We need a creative midfield player. Diamande obviously didn't have a great game. We made about five substitutions and Kieran Dowell went on. Yanis Hadji's sitting there on the bench. You know, since coming back, obviously, in the early part of October, when he did come on for that game, I think he came on round about just after half-time, you heard the crowd. It was at Ibrox, right? You heard the crowd, the reaction that everybody had. We were delighted to see him, a creative player, somebody that could potentially make the difference in this squad. And since then, a couple of games, you know, in the squad, a wee 15-minute appearance at an Aberdeen game that we were losing. This guy's had more time on the field for his national team than he has for Rangers. What's going on? Like, what is actually happening with Yanis Hadji?
You are therefore left to draw only one conclusion, James, and that is the manager doesn't rate Yanis Hadji. He makes strange decisions. The booing was audible when Conan Barron was taken off today. He's prone to making strange decisions. The only suggestion I can come up with is that he doesn't rate Yanis Hadji.
Why bring him back into the squad then and into the fold? If he doesn't rate him, because it's an easy way out. He's contract dispute or whatever it was, he's out the picture. But he makes a statement, I think, that becomes, he's back in.
Does that become a properly shambolic situation? Where now it might just be minorly shambolic, but you know, when you're in a bad place and you know you're literally like sending someone to a place where they can't even contribute in any way. I know he's contributing a small amount, but they had to sort something there, didn't they?
Well, did they? Because he was, for me, the decision was already made. The questions were already fired at Clement, and it was a way. Now he's back in the squad.
Well, I take the point. Like, he clearly doesn't rate him that highly. But to be fair, James,
I tell you where Hadji was. Hadji played in the Rangers B team against Partick Thistle Reserves on Tuesday night, and he scores the first goal. And did he shine? Not particularly. But I'm a Hadji fan. I think he can contribute to that first team. Maybe it was just occasion on Tuesday night that, you know, we've all been there. We'll fall into that kind of malaise when you go into some of the games.
The sight of you in the touchline.
Exactly. No thanks. I don't want to be part of this. But I think he can contribute to that Rangers team. You're lacking creativity.
I think that's the point, Gordon. I'm always conscious of this notion that the players become better when they're not in the team. Maybe Yanis Hadji is not as good as some Rangers fans think he is. Maybe Philippe Clement sees him every day and doesn't think he can contribute. However, I would respect James to jump in and say, can it be much worse than what we're seeing currently? Even if that is the case,
The thing about Hadji for me, I don't know if he's going to be the answer, right? Because I think you say it correctly there, Gordon. You become a more important player when you're not in the team. Everybody wants you back in. But the one thing Hadji can give you is what Rangers haven't got. Something a little bit different. He's a very skillful player. He can create. He's, you know, an international footballer. I agree with Mark. I think there's something about him. It's just a case. There's a lot of questions there for the manager. What's he doing with Tavernier? He leaves him out the captain, takes him off in the semi-final, then he puts him back in today, subs him today. You're not telling me this afternoon that Doyle coming on is a better option than Hadji for me.
Well, I suppose that's it then, James, isn't it? Because even if Yanis Hadji is not quite as good as you hope he's going to be, is there still a theory there that he would be a better option than some guys who are playing?
He would be, right, because Diamandé, he's not a natural 10. I think everybody in Irish can tell that he isn't a 10 for the creativity that we need. He's a engine, you know what I mean? He runs at players, he tries to disrupt the play, so on and so forth, right? Some guy just mentioned earlier, we're playing with two holding midfielders. That's where he needs to be, right? Obviously, Raskin and Barron, they hold that at the moment, right, because of the performances they've been putting in is, you know, great. However, when you get Hadji there and you're trying to get him back into the squad, get him back up to match fitness, obviously we've got an interest, right? He's playing in the B team, like Mark said, so we want him to be running about the squad. But again, you said Philip Clement doesn't have an interest in him, doesn't rate him, whatever. Why is he playing international football? He's not starting. He's been subbed on when this guy's only played, what, less than 90 minutes for his club team in the last year? It doesn't make sense to me. Someone's seen something. They rate Hadji quite highly internationally. I know his dad and so on, whatever. But he's still playing. He's still contributing to these games, assists, so on, whatever. Just one last point. Just wondering whether or not you think the red card has really sort of caused an impact with Clement. Obviously, he came on, right? Got the red card after the VAR decision. Do you think that's maybe the reason why he doesn't trust him anymore?
I mean, my reaction that night, I seem to remember Clement being quite sympathetic and feeling quite sorry for him.
Yeah.
I don't know, Hugh, do you think there's anything in there?
I tend to take the view that if Philippe Clement can look at that game today and think Hadji can do nothing for me, there's something wrong with Clement's judgment.
Yeah, I think if you're a sub today for Rangers and you're looking at that and you're watching who's going on in front of you, I think you think to yourself, I may be well down the pecking order here.
On the phone to your agent, aren't you?
Yeah.
Get me out of here in January.
100%.
Yeah. Right, okay, let's squeeze one more in if we can. We'll make it snappy. Justin, what's your point tonight?
Guys, you've just took my whole point right off me. If Clement is sitting watching that game for the dugout tonight and thinking, Yanis Hadji, can he bring anything on to it? Can he bring anything more to this than is going on in the park? I'm astounded. I don't understand Barron coming off. Surely a 21, 22-year-old boy can play two games in 1 week. It can't be to rest him. And we bring Kieran Dowell on in a defensive midfielder when we're at home attacking, or should be attacking. That tonight and today is everything for me and a lot of Rangers fans that's wrong with this Rangers team and wrong with Clement. It's just a mess.
Here is what he had to say. Justin, hang on the line about the Conor Barron sub, because I know it wasn't popular in the stadium.
I understand fans are fans and they don't know all the facts. And they see Conor also, and he deserves that, as one of the symbols of this new squad, this new team. I spoke also with a lot of praise about him the last couple of weeks in that way. But it's also my job to manage him in a good way, that he don't get injuries, that he don't get overuse. So he was tired after a massive week with a lot of distance that he ran, a lot of duels that he did, long travel, everything. And we could put Dujan in the midfield to win the duels and then to go forward out of that. So I understand that fans don't understand every detail about that. And they want to see the best players of the last couple of weeks all the time on the pitch. But it's also my job to see that they can stay on the pitch. I think the fans would be more disappointed if he was injured at the end.
You fans don't understand, Justin.
No, but what we don't understand is weakening the team with 15, 20 minutes to go when we've hardly been out of our own half. for the full second half. And it's beyond frustrating. Yeah, bring Barron off if we're up 2-0 with 20 minutes to go. Then you can understand it. But no one were kind of defending our own box. No one were struggling to pass 10-yard passes or 4-yard passes in any kind of sequence. Diamondi, I don't know how many times again he lost the ball, gave it away in the middle of the park and put us under pressure with players just then flooding forward into our 18-yard box. It just didn't make sense. And like you said, if Hadji kind of got onto that park with the lack of forward momentum that we had in that second half, then I feel sorry for Hadji massively if he's got to sit and watch that and not get a chance to come on and make a difference. It's genuinely embarrassing to watch at points and so frustrating.
But let's hear from the manager of Rangers on the game itself.
In the first half, I saw a lot of good things. I saw, again, a really good goal, comparable with the goal we scored in Olympiacos, with finding the right spaces and from the back until the front, making good combination play, making good runs and scoring a good goal. We missed then in the first half to score the second goal and to kill the belief of the opponent. What we wanted to do in the second half, you come out and after, I think, 30 seconds or 1 minute, you make a mistake and you get a ball against the post in that moment. And after that, it went up and down with more downs than ups in our game, and we were too sloppy on the ball and not making the right choices like we did in the first half. In that way, Hearts came more in the game without really creating good opportunities. But they stay in the game because it's only one goal difference.
Well, I always factor in that English is not the man's first language. But what he says now after games is repetitive, and the fans don't understand it, and he's rambling.
The Conor Barron one, Mark, again, it's like, if you're him, I don't think even when pressed on it he would back down, because that's the way these managers sometimes live their life. They are looking at stats, they are looking at numbers, they do think Conor Barron needed a rest or whatever. It's just very, his fans just don't really want to hear it, I think.
When it's a key player and you're looking to keep control of the ball, and he's probably your best option in that area, he puts a lot of emphasis on sports science. Sports science have a lot to say. And I suppose he has to back up what he said about the injuries. He has to take care of the injuries. Maybe that's fine away now. Better, he's getting, you know, consistent selection in terms of players not being missing for long periods of time. I don't know, but if it was me, I would keep on my key players at that time, and Conor Barron has been a key player for him. I don't think would replace him with a right back in Sterling. I know Sterling's played midfield before, but at home, I don't think I would have went there. But it worked out, they got the 3 points, so maybe he thinks that's job done.
Yeah, sometimes it baffles me a little bit. I'm fed up listening to him talking about new squad, new team. They're 9 points behind Aberdeen. Aberdeen have got a new squad, new team, and a new manager at the start of the season. So don't make that as an excuse. Look, the positive today for Rangers, two, they won the game and they got a clean sheet. So the Rangers fans aren't happy with the performance, and I totally agree with them.
We are back tomorrow to take a look back on all of the weekend's biggest talking points with Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna. So make sure you join us from 6 o'clock. It's been a very, very long Sunday, but thanks for staying with us, for calling, tweeting. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will speak to you tomorrow night. So much to get through when you look back on the day that passed there. We had Celtic kicking it off against Kilmarnock down there in Ayrshire, and then we had Rangers winning the game, but less than convincing if these calls are anything to go by. Big wins for various teams over the weekend, talking points, VAR drama, the whole lot. We'll do it tomorrow. Enjoy your Sunday.